This is the intersection of assistive, educational, and information technology. Whether it's technology for inclusive classroom learning or tools for community success, technology can promote independence, and inclusive technology has become more available for everyone. Welcome to the Inclusive Technology for All podcast with your host, Mike Murata.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 74 of Inclusive Technology for All. This week we will continue with the audio portion of the Assistive Technology Town Hall, which was held on April 27th, which was yesterday. Great conversation as always. These have been really exciting, kind of sharing of thoughts and ideas as we all try to navigate this new experience together, looking at assistive technology in special education. So I hope you enjoy. If you have questions you would like me to ask the panel in future AT Town Halls, shoot me an email at mike@mmatp.com. Thanks. Enjoy. But I am going to record it just so we have it in case anybody wants it. You know, it's going to be so earth-shatteringly interesting. You probably want to just go back and watch it like 10 or 15 times. Probably not. Let me get myself shared. There you go. Hello. So that way you can see that I'm actually here in real time. That is not any pressure for you to share your screen or your camera. That's fine. No big deal. Hope everybody is doing well. This is it. This is our second to last week. Next week is our last week. It's pretty exciting. I don't know if it's Monday or Wednesday next week. I'm going to look because I won't be able to focus until it's the 6th is our last day. Wednesday. Okay, so next Wednesday is our last class, which is exciting. Here's what we're going to talk about tonight. Not too much new. I want to follow up on the stuff you guys looked at last week a little bit. I want to talk about our PLN a little, and then we'll check in on the two things that are outstanding that we're going to finish up before we wrap up next week, the case study and the final project. So as we jump ourselves into it here, I thought I would share a couple resources. I think as we're all doing this, more and more resources seem to come across that maybe we can use. Maybe we don't need to use them at the time we see them, but it's like anything else. It's trying to find a spot to collect things. If we go back to that conversation we had about your PLN and all of that information you were going to gather in this portfolio, whatever it was that you were using as a collection site, whether it was online or some way you were collecting things in your Google Drive or anything else, here's a couple more resources. Maybe you need them today, maybe you don't, but it's nice to know that they're there and you might need to pull on them at some point and use them. Maybe you can share them with some coworkers. What's interesting is the two big tech companies that we do a lot with now, Google and Microsoft, both have these really pretty dense resources now, these websites they've put together to help us while we're teaching from home. So this virtual teaching information there, really good stuff. So this one is Google's, and the slides are on our Google site actually for tonight. So if we go over, there's our page for tonight under weekly materials. We are week 15, and there are the slides for today. There's also a handout underneath them if you want that. So those things are both there on that page. If you click the link, if you click the slide, it will take you right to the website. But that website is listed at the bottom. So it's teachfromhome.google. Is that what it is? Yeah, teachfromhome.google. Really interesting. Tons of information, obviously, about using the Google tools, all your G Suite tools, and some other resources that are out there to help you as you're doing remote work. Really, like I said, a dense website of very Google-focused information. If you're a Microsoft school or you're using Microsoft tools, I know some people are using Microsoft in a Google environment, so using Chromebooks, but using Microsoft tools, it's fine, whatever. As long as they're web-based, it doesn't really matter. Microsoft also has their web page too. This webpage that I shared with you from Microsoft is actually more focused towards special ed stuff. So this has a lot of really good information there. Some of it, maybe could be useful now. Others you might want to go back to later. Some really good pieces about resources of how to use the tools. Both sites have this actually. The Microsoft site and the Google site. Really good ways and strategies to use their tools, which I think is really important. You know, we have all access to these tools, but some of the things people are struggling with now as educators is not having the tools, it's how to use the tools effectively and creatively. And that's where I see some people struggling right now, is this idea of how to use the things they might have. I know I have Google Docs, but how can I use it creatively? I know I have access to Microsoft Word online. How can I use that creatively to meet needs of my students, these really varied needs of my students? And so that's a good website for that. And obviously very focused towards Microsoft things, but that's okay. And the Google one, very focused towards Google. That's okay too. So those are two, those are in our slides. And I pulled up as we were taught, as I was getting ready to start, one other, because I think it's kind of interesting. And maybe I'm partial to it because this is the program I run. But if you go to our YouTube channel, so if you go to YouTube and search ATAC NJ, so that's our channel name, we've been doing just tons of webinars lately. And every time we do one, we post it up here, the recording, so people can access it later. And so I wanted to make sure you guys knew that was here. When I go to the videos, we're doing tons of different things. We're doing AT focused webinars, so we're doing some of those. In fact, if you look at this page as I scroll down a little bit, we just did a 4-part series on literacy supports for remote learning. So looking at some different tools you could use to support struggling students in remote learning in the area of literacy. So that was great. We did that with Karen Janowski. She's up in the Boston area. So she did this set of 4 for us. And then we've had other kind of little quick hit webinars. One we just did the other day was about the census and how you could use technology to access the census and to complete the census. You'll see some of the other ones we did. Again, our organization is an advocacy organization. So some of these things are related to advocacy supports. You'll see appealing a reduction in your managed care services. So if you have that, need for things. We also have some other things. We have some census videos on there. We had an addressing special education during the pandemic. We did one of those with the lawyers that work with me. So those are really good. We did accessible gaming. So if you're looking for some, I was almost going to call it off the beaten track AT, but AT for a different purpose, AT for enjoyment, for entertainment, for leisure activity. We just hosted the group New Jersey CART, and they did a webinar looking at the adaptive controller for the Xbox, which was really cool. So that might be something you might be interested in. The other thing I wanted to point out that we've been doing weekly since this whole work from home started, so I think we've done maybe 6 already, is we've done town halls. We've done town hall meetings, and we do them every Monday. So we've done them every Monday afternoon at noon, and then we record them and post them up there. And so the whole idea with these is individuals from the community who are AT professionals, we get together and we just have a conversation about the things that we're seeing as the week goes on, the way that people are asking for support, the tools people are using, and the struggles and successes that we're seeing some students have. So that might be something you might be interested in, just kind of almost like putting it on in the background, and it's just a bunch of people chatting. No real structure to the hour, very little structure. Couple questions to start us off, and then off we go, and we just kind of have a conversation, just whatever people come up with as a topic. Last week, our main topic we had was how to use paraeducators effectively during remote instruction. That was really great. We had a bunch of ideas how to do that. Today's main topic that we kind of took off with and talked for a while was what to do next. What we're seeing, and maybe you're seeing it too, I'm curious if you've seen this, you know, drop it in the chat or even pop on your mic, that's fine too. I'm wondering if people are seeing that educators and staff members who aren't familiar with AT are suddenly becoming a little more interested in it because they're seeing through this remote instruction some of the struggles that students are having and the power that some of these devices and services can have to help that student be successful. So it's been actually really exciting. I had a special ed director say to me, I finally get it. I get this whole thing about AT now. I understand what you keep talking about and how important it is. And so it's nice. People are starting to recognize that, I think, out of necessity, because of the fact we were all doing remote instruction. But the conversation we had today in the town hall was, when we go back to school, whenever that is, and again, if you want to offer up a thought of when you think that's going to be, when you're going to go back to school, throw it in the chat. I'm curious what you say. I have a thought too. I'll hold mine for a minute in case someone else drops theirs in there. But what's going to happen? September. Yeah, all right, Kim. I kind of think so too. I think definitely not before September. You might even on the right day catch me saying a little later than September, saying we may start remote and work towards something. But I think that depends on what happens in the next few weeks or so. But thinking about what happens in September, let's just say September, what happens then when everyone's back in school? Do we take the lessons that we have seen in this moment of remote instruction and apply it to how we do school when we go back to school? Or do we just fall into the same routine again? And I think it's an interesting opportunity for us to kind of change the way that school looks for people. And it doesn't have to be the same way it always was. I was doing a meeting last night. No, it wasn't last night. Today's Monday. So, oh my God, it was Friday. Okay, so it was Friday. I don't even know. They're all just blending together. So Friday. It was Thursday. Sorry. Thursday night, I did a parent open house on Zoom. Any parent who had a question about technology for this school district I work in, they were able to pop on, we had a conversation, no real plan, just kind of sitting and talking and seeing what they were doing. We had some parents pop on. We had about almost a dozen people pop on, which was great. But out of that dozen parents representing 12 different students, there were at least three who said that their child was thriving in this environment and having some flexibility as they moved through their day. And they were finding they were getting more work done with less redirection. One mom said, just the fact that he can have his Chromebook open and his camera off, but he's listening to the class and he's able to just walk around the dining room table. And he's able to get up and just move around and look out the window as he's listening. She said just that little movement piece was enough to make him more engaged in the class. So I think we have to respect that difference of what we think about when we get back to the classroom. And one of the moms said, I wish I didn't have to send my child back to school. I wish he could continue to do remote learning because he's doing better. He's taking his time. He's able to process things. His teacher's doing less in synchronous things and more asynchronous things. So he gets a chance to watch them when he feels like it. And it's exactly what Kimberly just said. People are doing it at their own pace. Here's what we need to get done. Work on it when you want. I think it's also been interesting when we think about high school students. Think about most of our high schools. They start at what, 7 o'clock, 7:15. But now I know the two districts I'm working in, any of the remote instruction that they do in real time, nothing starts before 9 o'clock. And suddenly you're having people who are a little more engaged. And so there's something to be said for that too. But I'm curious if we're going to take these lessons and learn from them, or if we're just going to say, well, that was something, huh? That was last year. That was a whole other thing. Let's get back to doing what we were doing. I think going into next year. Now I have to read. Sorry, I have to read your comment now. I think going into next year really put into perspective what's the most important areas to be covered. Yeah, for sure. And how do we boil down information? I think you're right. And give chunks of information that are manageable for people. And also focuses on the key pieces we want to do. I think it's been interesting where you think about people that are working remotely now, and we all are. how your day has changed. And are you getting more done? Are you getting less done? Are you doing different kinds of things? I find I'm doing different kinds of things. I don't think I'm getting more done, because I think the fact that everybody else is home is causing me to get less done. And I don't mean here in the house. I mean the people I work with, because they're very they're not tech phobic. They just don't have a lot of tech comfort. And so I'm having to give a lot of support for tech things, because I'm an AT guy. So I must know Zoom, and I must know how to use the computer, and I must know all that other stuff, which I kind of do, but it's not really my area that I'm supposed to be working on, but I get pulled into a lot of things. I was in a meeting on Friday for 2 hours just to make sure that the Zoom worked. And I muted and I turned my mic off and my camera and I did something else. But just the idea of it changing the way the day goes on is kind of interesting. That was a very long roundabout way to say, check out our YouTube channel. Definitely going to incorporate more tech into the classroom next year. Also for long-term absences, the ability to make recorded lessons with digital assignments seem easier. Yeah, I think so for sure. This idea of again, that's, you're talking about changing the way things get done. And a lot of this, what we've been talking about with this whole idea of remote instruction, has been dangerously close to flipped classroom things, right? We share things that are recorded in a way that people can go back to them and gather information about the concepts. And then when we see each other, or the projects that we use or complete to demonstrate our knowledge are very practical about that recorded information. And so it's a little different going into it. It might make us think a little bit about what next year looks like. And I hope people kind of take that to heart. I hope people don't look at this as kind of a lost 3 months and just kind of try to wash it away. Because I think there are important things to be learned from what we've all just gone through and what we're still going to go through till the end of the year. So that was kind of my thought of a couple resources. I told you guys I would share a couple resources each time, just because they come fast and furious now. So I figure, why not just share a couple that you can kind of push along to other people or use for yourself. All right, our big couple things. I want to touch on the case study, make sure nobody has any questions, because I think it's relatively straightforward, but I just want to make sure that we're good. I know some people have sent that. I haven't looked at them all yet, because again, I couldn't even tell you what day it was right now. So I'm working through it too, just like you guys are. But I'll get through them as we go. But here were the things that were due for the case study. Here are the chunks of the case study. And you'll notice one thing right away. I pushed the date 3 more days back. So just get this to me by that last day, the 5-6. So by May 6th, get all of this stuff to me. And we've boiled the case study down to these couple pieces that have to be there, just to make sure that we know what has to be there. The first 3 pieces there are the set form for your student. And again, if you're struggling with typing on the form or whatever else, if you print it and handwrite it, if you duplicate the form just in a Word doc, that's fine too. 3 columns. Again, the format of what it looks like, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. If you handwrite it, take a picture of it and send it to me in an email, that's fine too. I just want to see kind of your thought process of what you thought about this student as they went through. So the 2 pages of the set, the SET part, and then the 2nd page, which is your tools that you were thinking about for your student and what kinds of tasks they would address. A short written description, and I mean short, like less than a page, of the 2 tools you decided to do for your student. So you went through their case, you read through their IEP, you made some educated guesses, because you might not have all the info about this student, but you made some educated guesses and you came up with something that you think might work for this student. Something that was high tech and then something that was low tech. And that low tech could either be a tool or a strategy. So either way, so you had to come up with 2 suggestions of an AT device or strategy that you were going to push forward for this student. And then you were going to come up with questions. What kind of questions would you ask the members of this team in order to gather information that you couldn't get from the IEP? So you had to come up with a question for the classroom teachers, a set of five for the family, and 10 for the student. Things that you would say to someone as you read through that, questions must have popped up in your mind. How were you going to get those from the team members? What would you have asked them? And then we talked a little bit. Are these the things we were going with? We were doing with our small groups last time. Yes. So Lauren, so the idea of the top three are the things you would have done before you spoke to the group last time. So we met last time on, I guess on the 13th. Is that the last time we met? I guess it was. We met on the 13th and you went into your small groups with the people that you were in, had the same case study with. You had that information at the top already. So those top three things should have been done by that day. Maybe you turned them in, maybe you didn't. It didn't matter because the whole thing wasn't due till May 6th, so that's fine. But then you took that information that you gathered personally about your student, then you spoke about it with the other people in your group on the 13th, and you came up with some conversation pieces. So those last two bullets are the things you talked about when you got together on the 13th. And so really what I'm looking for you to tell me about from that group meeting on the 13th is just answer those questions in like a paragraph or two. What tools did you decide on after you spoke together as the group? And I'm kind of curious to see, you know, as you got together, did people have similar tools? Did you have different tools? Were you on the same track? Were some of you completely off looking at another focus for the tools you were doing? Was everybody looking at the same focus? Because a handful of these students had multiple tracks you probably could have taken to look at some tool support. So after you spoke to each other in that little small group, did you as a group pick two things out of your conversation of everybody sharing that you were going to approach the student and try? And then in that trial, what would that look like? And I'm not asking you to give me some detailed plan of what that looked like, but you had some tools that you thought would work. How were you going to know they worked? And as I said to you when we talked to each other on the 13th, don't think now in this remote learning piece, because that's too, we don't even know. You know what I mean? It'd be tough to kind of wrap our brains around that. Think back to September. Imagine we were doing this in September. And if you were to put these tools in front of a student, how would you go about infusing them into their day and making sure that you could decide how you would know that a tool would be a success or not? Like, what would you look for as a goal of your success? All right, let's see. This is a long one. My group was very confused. Some people in my group were under the impression from the meeting before last class we were not doing anything for the case study. We were just discussing it. It was a disaster. Turn on your mics. Did anyone else have a disaster? Oh, here they come. I see them all popping on. Here we go.
I think we all kind of felt the same way as what Catherine wrote. Everyone's like very confused and I think a little overwhelmed because we were under the impression that we weren't doing a case study. We were just discussing it. And then we saw this assignment and the other section had it done. We didn't have it done. And everyone's just like, ah!
Yeah, like the whole meetings were like horrible because the other group was just like, well, we all did it. And we all had written down, like we literally all compared our papers that we were discussing the case study. Like we were not formally writing it up. And they were all just like, no. And like, we're not like necessarily like helping. And I'm like, what? So it was not a very productive class.
So it was a bit of a disaster. All right, so tell me this now. Now that we've passed the disaster, you guys are bold for putting your cameras on too. Good for you guys. Everybody else sitting quietly.
The voice to the face.
You know? I want to publicly shame everybody. No, I don't want to publicly shame. Good for you guys. But I'm just curious, where are you at now?
Nowhere. No.
Where are the rest of you? Everybody else kick your mics on. Where are the rest of you?
Hi, this is Allie.
Hi,
this is Kim speaking. I currently look like trash, so I want to
right. Fair enough.
I mean, I was very lucky. My group members from the other class were, it was just me and then the other class, my cousins, so to speak, and they were very nice to me and they shared a lot of their information, so I don't feel too disastrous, but I felt very bad going into that kind of with a different view on this assignment than they did.
Understand. Got it. Everybody else? I saw Lauren popped on too. Where are you at, Lauren? Tell us the story.
I also felt bad that I didn't have enough to offer, kind of. They kind of took control of it, which I appreciated. They shared their ideas with me, but I thought that it was just the discussion with the small group that was going to happen.
And nothing handed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like at some point I might have said that? You all had it in your notes.
Yeah.
You had it written? Look, Kim's like, I had it written.
Yep.
Kim, I'm going to force you to put your camera on if you're going to.
I had it on a post-it and it said, no paper, just discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? Is that what I said? Could I have possibly said that? How could I have not said that to the other group? Unless I did, it was only when your group was together?
No,
no, we were all together.
And then you mentioned we'll all get A's.
They all did it?
They were, some of them were confused too.
Oh. So what you're saying is I've caused confusion.
Yes.
A little bit, yes.
All right, that's fine. I can take
Sorry.
It.
Sorry.
No, I'm turning my camera off now. I don't want you guys to see me now. Because now I'm upset. No, I'm not upset. It's fine. It's fine. All right, so, as the Monday group, we usually get the say of how we bail out on something. So what should we do?
So, hi, this is Allie again.
Hi.
I don't know if my video's on. Is it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's very dark.
Oh, okay.
It's very dark, but it's very moody.
Oh.
It's very
moody. So in my group, I think not all of us were there. I think it was only 3 out of the 5 of us.
Yeah.
But I think we were all under the impression that we didn't have to do the first written part. So when we got together, we didn't really have anything to talk about yet. But then I did go back and did the first part, but now on the second part, I don't really have anything new to write about because I didn't really talk about that with my group.
Yeah, because it's after the fact now.
Yeah.
But see, I'm in the, this is Kim again, I'm in the complete opposite as Allie, and I went the reverse way. I didn't do the first part, and then when I met with my group, I mean, like, I had read through the IEP, so I was able to brainstorm those second piece parts, but I didn't do the first part.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, and it's tough with the one side without the other. It's kind of a little of a kick. Oh, so many decisions. What should I do? Should I just bail on it?
Yes.
I feel like I should. Did someone
say
yes?
Bail.
Did someone say yes? All right, let's just bail on it. Okay. I feel bad for the people who have the video already.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, like, we don't have to tell them, but.
No, we'll just bail on it altogether. All right. That's fine. I can do that. I think the whole entire semester has been a bit of a flexible thing here at the end anyway, so it's fine. But now, if I bail on that, I have to be bowled over with final projects. Like, I got to fall off my chair. Like, straight onto the floor. How we doing with the file? All right, so forget that. We're bailing on that. Okay?
Thank you.
And I'll send something out to everybody later today. About bailing. Oh, but you know what? I do want to show you this because I like this idea. Even though we've bailed on handing it in, let me play this video because I really like this. I was hoping to get Chris to speak with us, but when we all went virtual, it got really out of hand and I couldn't lock down a schedule with Chris. But this idea of what he talks about in this little video. It's only 2 minutes, so I think it's a good 2 minutes of me not talking just to watch it. But he talks about what's called the least dangerous assumption. And I think this is really powerful when we start thinking about and talking about AT and what we look at and how we look to match students' needs to the tools that are out there. So I embedded it in because I wanted to show us this, and I'll blow it out to the full screen. Maybe I won't blow it out to the whole screen. Wait a second. Oh, there it is. When you don't have enough evidence to make a judgment or an assessment about a student's performance or abilities, assume they can do whatever you're asking them to do. Every educator makes a decision about technology.
really changed my practice, and it has not put limits on students. Students that I work with now, when they leave on the last day, they haven't just met their goals and objectives for a year. They were able to meet their goals and objectives that they came up with, that they want to do, that they wanted to achieve. When you're working with a person with a disability, if you're going to fail, fail because you believe in the person's potential, not because you put some sort of artificial limit on it.
I think you guys couldn't hear it because I turned my microphone off too, so it would just play, but I think I messed it up. Luckily, it had captions, which was good. It's a great video, and if you want to go back and watch it again, you can definitely do that. It's embedded in the slide, so you'll be able to watch it. But this idea of that least dangerous assumption, don't hang your own thoughts about a person's limitation on that before we try things, especially with technology, especially with assistive technology. I think it's a nice kind of wrapper to put around our thoughts about assessment and consideration and AT and the IEP and all of those pieces that we work to try to infuse tech into the student's plan for their education. And we have to do that from a place of assuming they can. That's the way we should approach this. And it's the way, if you think about it, it's the way the SET framework is set up. And we talk about this all the time. I mean, I don't know how many times we've talked about it, but the idea of the SET framework is you think about that S column, right? What was that? That student. And when we talk about student, they're very specific in the directions. And when Joy Zabala put this together, this idea of talk about the student's abilities, their skills and abilities. Tell me the things they can do, not the things they can't do. Start to catalog those skills, because as we start to match them across the tasks they need to complete in the environments they're going to be working in, we can find tools that help them overcome whatever the barrier is. Because we started from a place of assume potential. Assume they can do things. Now find something that's going to build on that and support it to let them finish. So it's a real, it's really powerful 2 minutes worth of video there. I show that a lot when I'm working with groups, when I hear a lot of kind of naysayers like, oh, my kids can't do that, or my kids won't be able to follow any of this. I usually tend to stop and drop this video on and just let it play for a couple minutes and then have them have that conversation of, oh, all right, maybe I'm going to refocus my thought a little bit on what that looks like. So I think it's kind of a nice wrap to that case study. All right, so what did we learn? The case study's out. It was just a learning experience. You got to talk to your groups and see how those things worked. We got to do a little bit with the SET framework, which was good. Let's talk a little bit about your projects and make sure you're good with that, because this one I won't bail on. I'm actually going to invite Dr. Good to sit with us because if everybody's going to present their final projects, I want to be able to have a chance for her to see those. And I'm also going to, just so that you're mentally prepared for that, I don't know why you need to mentally prepare, but just so you know, I am going to record that because, again, I think because we weren't together, and because some of our projects that we were going to do this semester kind of dropped off, including our case study that just dropped off, this low-tech device and your short little write-up about it will end up being the information that I share with Dr. Good for a demonstration of what we did in this class. So just be prepared for that. We're going to videotape it. We're going to record it, and I'll share it with her. I'm going to invite her to come join us. And I do need a short description about it. So I need something written up about your tool. So here's kind of the idea of what you're doing. Oh, I saw a microphone pop on like someone was going to chime in, but then you shut it right off. That's cool. We're building one device. You're looking around your house. You're building it with things you have around your house. You are building an AT device. So what does that mean? It's assistive technology. It can be for anything, for any disability, for any environment. it's going to help someone. Think about our definition of assistive technology that we went back to over and over again. Any item, device, item, or piece of equipment, whether you purchase it commercially, modify it, customize it, that promotes independence by increasing functional capabilities. So that's what you're building. It can be anything you can think of. So hopefully you've thought of some things. I know people are starting to send some stuff in. You're going to share this on Zoom next week. So, and I remember, and I don't remember if it was somebody in this class or somebody in Wednesday's class who said, can I record it and send it instead of doing it live in the Zoom? Sure. If you want to do that, that's fine. Send me the video so I have it so I can play it while we're in the Zoom call. Okay, just so that I have it. So I need to, send it to me. I was going to say you share it, but then there's a whole sharing thing. No, send it to me. I'll play it as we go through. So that way I have them. I'll have them all up in different tabs so I can just click on each one and then just play it out loud. All right, so it's basically any device. It doesn't have to be amazing. You don't have to build some, build a solar-powered car from things around your house. Think about simple solutions. If you're stuck, go back to your case study. Was there something in that case study for that student that you could have met their needs with something simple? And then could you build that with something around your house? Okay, so that's our idea for our low-tech tool. All right, just one. And I do need a description, so send that to me beforehand or the day of, whatever. A Google Doc so I have it. And then be ready to take over the screen, and we will let you share. We will make you the spotlight video, and you will share. I don't know if I'm going to randomize it from everybody in the group or just randomly pick you off the list. See, if I randomly pick you off the list, it's alphabetical. It's not much for random. I'll try to randomize it in some way so you don't know when it's coming. No, you'll know when it's coming. Even if I give it a randomized list, I'll share the list with you so you know who you're before and behind. All right? Thoughts or questions about that? Are we good with that? I sit and I wait and I stare at the box. And I see yeses and I see everybody's good. Awesome. Cool. Very good. Other questions about that? Anybody? Or we feel all right? Anything at all? I go past it. If you have a question, throw it in there or jump back on and we'll go from there. You did augmentative communication last week. So the info you had to look at was kind of a pre-recorded module about kind of an overview, like basically like an AAC 101. And that's what we shared last week. As you went through, I also shared that video. That was kind of like a bonus thing at the end, which is really pretty great, that video. And actually Chris, who we just saw in that video there, put together this video for people from his podcast. Chris is a speech pathologist, so he does a lot with augmentative communication. And they put that video together about how people with augmentative communication are moving through this pandemic issue and this remote instruction and working from home. So that was pretty great. If you didn't watch that video, watch it. It's on the link from last week. It's about, I think it's 12 minutes long. So it's a commitment of time. But it is pretty great, though, because you see a lot of individuals sharing augmentative communication. So when we think about that, and I want to just touch on some of it real quick, and then I actually want to get you working on something because I want to see what you would do as far as a communication board. But we talked about in the module the idea of why we have communication, the four functions, and really when we think about this idea of AAC, it really is a question of how can a system, whether it's a no-tech, low-tech, or high-tech system, help me in one of these four areas? And so a lot of times it's expressing wants and needs, right? It's somebody who does not have effective communication, using some tool to express those wants and needs. But there are other pieces too. I ask you a question and you answer. There's an exchanging of information. There's that ability for that social aspect of it, social closeness, and even social etiquette. I say good morning to you. You say good morning back to me. I say have a nice day. You say thank you. You too. Those kinds of social etiquette pieces that are all part of communication. When we think about an AAC system, some type of communication system, they all have to have some component of that in them so that person can be successful across the environments they're going to be in throughout the day. And so when we think about AAC, most people think AAC is all about iPads, right? It's all about communication apps, and it's expensive. It's plug in, I gotta charge it, I gotta create it. I need special training on how to use it. It's got all these pieces that people automatically think are very complex. It's really not, because when we're talking about augmentative and alternative communication, that's what AAC is, it's all forms of communication that supplement speech and writing. So if I struggle in the areas of speech or writing, or speech and writing, how do I use some of these supports to enable me to successfully communicate in these four areas, these functions of communication? And so these were also spoken about, but I just wanted to highlight them one more time, because it's important to remember that not all AAC comes from an iPad. You know, how much do we do with sign language, and not even knowing true sign language, but talking about even gestures and pointing as a form of sign language, and facial expressions, you know, thinking about the pieces of communication, the unspoken pieces of communication. And how interesting has that been now, just for all of us, when we're all remote? You know, right now, I'm the only one you can see who's waving his arms around and doing all kinds of things. I don't see any of you. I don't have that back and forth where we did in a classroom, right? We had all of these unaided communication supports that were happening throughout the classes and throughout the days. And we're missing that in right now in our conversation. And also when we go to our work in our classrooms with our students, we're seeing that same thing. Is for some of it, it might be helping them to not have that pressure of the visual, no tech, those communication points. And like the two boys I told you about, that their mom said that, you know, it's good they put their camera off and they walk around the house, or they stand up next to their chair and they rock back and forth, or they do something else, they bounce a ball, they throw it in the air as they're listening. So they're doing all those things where they couldn't do it in class. But for everyone else, this could be a really powerful support for communication. When I started in my career in assistive tech, the first center I worked in, I worked with adults with significant physical disabilities. That was the center I worked in. And most of the individuals had cerebral palsy. Most of the individuals did not have communication, so they had communication devices. But what they had a lot of was they augmented the device with these no-tech strategies of gestures and pointing and facial expressions. So I knew what they were saying, even if they were struggling to get it out of their device, because they had these other pieces that they could use as supports. I remember one mom coming in, and her son was, at the time, probably almost 30, working and living at home, comes to the center every day. And the team was trying to get her to agree to get a communication device, something a little more high tech. And you know, she had said no for the longest time, and they finally got her to agree to look at it. And when they went through the process, and the son kind of liked the device, I think he liked the opportunity to speak a little more, because what we found when he was at home, it was a lot of talking to him and him doing a lot of nodding yes or no, and never got to be able to add his two cents to most conversations. And I kind of think at times, I think people in his family were comfortable with that, because they could roll through any situation and throw out a couple questions or thoughts to him, and he would nod yes or no. And they would probably, and one time I remember seeing them just do what they wanted to do anyway, even though he was clearly against that. And there was this kind of communication outburst from him, someone who was not verbal, but he could verbalize. And you knew that was not what he wanted to do. So he had that no tech piece that sometimes was paid attention to by his communication partners, other times not. Kind of an interesting experience with him. Low-tech systems we think about, even when our computers and our iPads, even using those as tech tools, we also have to consider these low-tech supports. Simple paper boards, or books, or note cards, or anything. The picture at the bottom there is a picture of an EMT who has that in his ambulance so people can point, if they're having a medical emergency and can't communicate, they can point to those pieces and tell a little bit about what they're feeling right now. That is an AAC system. That person, perhaps in that moment, is compromised and can't communicate. So now we give some simple solution that we can give them some communication as they go through. And then we have high tech, the systems that we all tend to think of when we think of communication devices, whether they're single message all the way up to complex computers or mobile devices. I mean, that's where most of our communication is now. It's in this idea of mobile devices, smartphones, and tablets, and using those as tools. But I'm gonna challenge you right now, and I don't know if you have anything around you to do this, but I'll give you about 5 minutes to go scrounge something up. I want you to think about a communication board you could create for yourself to participate in this call. Now, granted, your participation's almost done in this call, but if you were an individual with some compromised communication, how would you go forward? What would a board look like that you could use to share information? And I'll layer one other piece on this. We're going with the assumption that you have you're struggling a bit with literacy skills, so you can't use the chat box. Okay, there we go. That kind of minimizes that as a solution. That would be a solution, because quite honestly, if you can't talk right now and you have the chat box, you have a voice still in this part, in your participating. But what would it look like to create some kind of communication board that you would use to participate in a Zoom meeting about this class? I'll give you a couple minutes to think about it. If you got a piece of paper and a pen, put something together real fast, and then I'm gonna make you hold them up to the screen and I wanna hear about them. All right, and take 5 minutes. I'm turning my mic off and I'll give you five. All right, good luck. All right, I came back slightly early. How did that go? You're gonna have to turn your cameras on for this. I wanna see it. Imagine I muted all your microphones. How'd we do? Do we have some kind of communication board that you could use?
I have a whiteboard and a marker.
I am.
Look at this, awesome.
Whiteboard.
Wow. I have something on it.
The whiteboard, but
I have little magnetic letters that you can like build words with if you're sitting by your fridge.
You guys are jealous now, right? I think people are jealous that she's whipping out those magnetic letters.
The garden features, you have it all on hand.
Did everybody notice it was in like a 2-foot radius of her, of where she's sitting?
Yeah, so. I mean,
I thought my whiteboard was good enough, but I guess not, Leah.
Sorry.
All right, that was all right. She raised the bar here, but everybody else, what I so what else I see?
I have just a whiteboard and a marker.
Okay. So going with this, you would answer. There's some yes, no, and some,
yeah, I have the same thing.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, those are. Oh, Caitlin, what is that? Oh, there's like more like questions there. I would like to add something. Okay. So you went with text anyway. That's cool. Most of us have text, right? Does anyone have pictures?
Awesome.
Yeah, Lauren's got the colors, which are good, that kind of like, awesome. I'm good or I'm not good kind of thing.
Yeah, or if like you're going too fast, I want you to slow down.
Yeah,
oh.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah, Lauren. Some, thanks.
Yes, no questions.
Yeah, like happy face, frowny face.
Chris, what do you got on yours? I can half see it.
Yeah, it's hard to see because I just grabbed a piece of paper that was by me. It's actually the back of the chapter 5 explanation for our usage. I started writing.
Yeah.
I have, so far, I have 6 boxes filled in. First one says question. Second one says, can you explain? Third one says, can you repeat? And that's my first row. The second row says, I disagree. I agree. And I'm confused. And I would
use. Nice. Excellent.
But it was kind of impromptu. The whiteboard is a lot better.
The whiteboard would be really fast, kind of getting things out that were unique. And what's interesting is you think about some of the conversation we might have. Think about your board, and does your board give you enough that you could move through the class and have unique utterances for participation, or is it all about responding to something I said? And I'm just thinking about it. I'm not saying one word. I'm just curious. You know, think about that as far as communication. If you couldn't speak and you had to lead the conversation,
for a second,
do any of your board give you something to do that?
I'm just thinking out loud. If you were to do kind of like half between meeting and just talk, maybe have a lot of set spaces, but then like really have like a wild one where you can write what you want to say.
Also, yeah, bingo. That's a good idea, right? I like that. I think it's a really good idea. I think that's cool. Anybody else want to hold yours up? Did I not see everything? Is that post-it notes? Bianca, you have post-it notes?
Oh, yeah, this is my classroom. This is my... where I do everything every morning. We did fact versus opinion in kindergarten today.
Okay.
So that was our little
magnetic letters.
I don't have any, Leah. Thank you. I can't go back to my classroom, so I don't have anything.
This was like the only thing I grabbed when I left. Probably should have grabbed more, but hey.
I wish.
Had a code when I walked in.
That felt like the most important thing to grab was the
magnet. And I haven't used them yet. That's the worst part.
I'm using post-its like crazy.
Post-its are perfect. So I wanted you to do that, and I think that was all perfect. I think what you guys did was awesome. It's this idea of how could we communicate if we couldn't talk to each other. And I think face-to-face would be interesting, but I think a lot of us would have a struggle using any type of communication board or device in a setting like this. I think it becomes really hard. Have you guys found the whole raise your hand thing that's in here? Do I have that active right now? And I might not even have it active.
Oh, I saw it today when I clicked on something.
Yeah, I'm looking right now, and I don't think I turned it on, so I don't think we have it right now. I don't even see it. But a way to kind of draw attention to you beyond turning on your camera and just waving around and just trying to grab some attention. I think it's kind of interesting. If we were in class and we would have did that, I would have forced you to make a communication board for your day and talk to each other and have a conversation and see if your boards could successfully navigate you through a conversation with someone else. What's Catherine say? We use the raise the hand action for our staff meetings since there's so many people. Yeah, I agree. The raised hand or what I've seen in some staff meetings is people keep their cameras off until you want to say something and then you turn your camera on. And then they just move through the comments from people that have their cameras on. But I think the hand raising is really good. I use the chat a ton. And I told you in this case, we couldn't use the chat. But normally in the video meetings, I tend to use the chat. And I'll say I have a question or I'd like to jump in whenever there's a break and do something like that. The last piece I want to talk about is the thing that I think in where we're at right now has become one of the most important pieces. which is our PLN, and how to connect with others because we are not connecting in person with people. And I think that's become really interesting. And I'm curious if any of you have done in this time of being at home, any kind of professional development learning, like learning something new on your own. Have you had time to do that? I know a lot of us don't have a ton of time, but I'm curious if anybody's done that and found it to be a nice time. I've actually found it to be a nice break from some of the work I had to do every day, is to just go and learn something, sign into a webinar and just watch it for 45 minutes and just kind of learn something new. This is a comment from Will Richardson. I don't know if you've ever heard of Will Richardson. He's a New Jersey educator. He's a former educator. Now he's a kind of a keynote speaker. And he has this great quote about professional development being the responsibility of the professional and not your school, not the institution, but you. Perfect, Leah. That's great. Looking at how to navigate Google Classrooms, especially for younger grade levels, that's a trickier spot. Where their literacy skills might not be up to a point where they can successfully navigate a ton of stuff. So you got to find a way to do that in a more creative way. That's exciting. Here's my questions for you. Oh, and Bianca says her district hosted 2-day professional development over Zoom. That's kind of fun, I guess, right? I would find fun in that, I would think. That would be me. I would find fun. Think about some of this, and if one of these questions grabs you, you can either throw your mic on or chat it in the chat. Do you feel like a better educator? And I don't know what better means, and that's why I left it that way. Better is whatever you think better means. But is this PLM project helped you move forward as an educator? Has it made you more aware of other things? What kind of things can you do to continue to build your network? As we continue on this remote. And then finally, which was part 3 of our PLN project, was how can you contribute to your network? And have any of you made that step to being contributors to a network, posting things up or having conversations with people, moving into conversations with people in your PLN? Let's see, Alex talks about reading a lot of blogs, playing around in the Chrome Music Lab, which is really cool. And so that is something different to learn, yeah, for sure. So is anybody feeling this need to comment about their PLN? Ooh, share your puzzle. Ed Puzzle? Ed Puzzle's awesome, by the way. It's the best, Lauren. That's so great. What do we think about our PLN? Is this a helpful thing? Did this at least make you think differently about how we do things? Kimberly says, yes, that's a good sign. I think it's interesting now that we're all so kind of disconnected. To me, that PLN becomes even more important. And I say it to the people in the AT Town Hall every week. It is a powerful hour. We all find a way to carve an hour out of our day on a Monday and just get on there and talk. We don't really have any real big overarching goal of that hour, except to connect and share ideas. And I think our PLNs can do that for us. And so I'm hoping as we went through the semester, this at least raised your awareness about this, and hopefully you'll continue it after we're done. There Leah says, it helped me help make me more aware of everything that's out there. Yeah, to help people. Again, it's connecting to the larger world beyond your school, finding ways to see those other resources that are out there. So thank you, I appreciate that. All right, I wanted to hit 5:30. I got pretty close. We got a couple minutes off, but that's okay. Last call for questions. I just wanted to leave this on because that makes me laugh. Other thoughts before we go? Are we good? We good for next week? Awesome, cool. All right, well then, enjoy your week. Stay safe. I can't not show you that lizard video because it's the greatest thing I ever found. Make sure you're well. Take some time for yourself and be safe. And I'll see you next week on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Well.
Bye. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. See you later.
Bye. Thank you.
You got it, guys. See ya.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Do you have an idea for a future episode? Leave an audio message via SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast with your suggestion. It may appear on an upcoming episode. To stay current on all things inclusive and assistive technology, follow Mike on Twitter at MMATP and visit his website at MMATP.com for inclusive technology resources and all the previous podcast episodes. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Do you have an idea for a future episode? Leave an audio message via SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast with your suggestion. It may appear on an upcoming episode. To stay current on all things inclusive and assistive technology, follow Mike on Twitter at MMATP and visit his website at MMATP.com. For inclusive technology resources and all the previous podcast episodes.